Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway from WNYC and PRX in collaboration with WGBH Radio in Boston.
Coronavirus cases keep multiplying across the country, and as those numbers go up, haven't you noticed people rushing to grocery stores, stocking up on frozen food, toilet paper, and other provisions? Did you? Well, it's not just food that folks are buying. The coronavirus has also led to a sharp spike in gun purchases. And as police across the country are beginning to enforce social distancing orders, they are doing so in the shadow of this surge in gun sales. For some perspective, consider this. According to the Global Small Arms Survey, there are more than 393 million civilian-owned guns in the USA. Now, if you do the math, that's more than one gun per person. That reality can affect how police do their jobs on a day-to-day basis. And for the second part of our Guns and Policing series, we look at how lax gun laws influence the way police on your streets do their jobs and the ways that they perceive threats. John Roman is with us. He's a senior fellow at the nonpartisan research organization National Opinion Research Center, or NORC. It's at the University of Chicago. John, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me on.
You've done a lot of research on the connection between civilian gun ownership and policing. What did you find?
There's a direct connection between how many citizens, civilians own firearms and how the police behave and interact with citizens. And the fact that the United States has so many guns in the hands of people engaged in everyday activities, it completely changes how the police interact with them and increases the chance that that interaction turns deadly.
Do we actually have an accurate count of the number of police-involved shootings in this country?
Well, we don't really. So the federal government collects some statistics on this, and their estimate is typically about 400 a year. But when newspapers like The Guardian in the UK and The Washington Post crowdsource those data, when they go and they actually count the number of police shootings that the press reports on, they estimate that number is about 1,000 each year.
Now, do you think that the lax gun laws that we have in the U.S. and police shootings, is it in any way related? And if so, is it correlation or causation or just a coincidence?
So I think there's a causal effect there. We can't isolate it. We can't, of course, run some sort of randomized control trial to test it. But I think that there's a strong correlation that's supported by a logic, a theory that's easily explained. So what happens is that when citizens live in a state where there are very limited laws restricting who owns a gun, the officer has to assume that there's a real chance they'll encounter a weapon, as opposed to states where there are strict gun laws and guns are prohibited from being possessed by the people who are at the highest risk of using them. Officers can be a little more relaxed and a little less likely to draw and use their own weapon.
So is the assumption that in a society where there are few laws that limit who can have it, an officer has to assume that everyone is armed?
Police officers take their lives into their hands with every traffic stop. They don't know what they're getting into. And they have to take precautions. So when we look at the data, and we use the NRA's data to evaluate the strength of laws, of firearm laws, and when we use the NRA's standards about whether a state has strict gun laws or lax gun laws, we find that states with lax gun laws have far more police-involved shootings of civilians than states that have strict gun laws, which have far fewer police-involved shootings.
When you talk to people in the law enforcement community, what do they have to say about gun laws in this country?
People's intuition is that law enforcement officers are people who are around weapons. They handle them all the time. We just assume that law enforcement is very supportive of very broad Second Amendment rights. But when you talk to officers, and particularly command staff and police chiefs, they tell a very different story. They want tighter restrictions on who has access to weapons, in particular because it's an issue of officer safety. Their patrol officers who go out into the world every day are safer if they know that dangerous people don't have weapons. And so they want more gun laws.
What would you say the effect of these varying laws have on the psyche of many police officers?
I think it's really damaging. I think it's very hard to do their job. I think they're afraid for their own safety. I don't know that they say it in exactly that way, but I think that they are. I think it creates stress. I think it creates anxiety. I think it makes the interactions between police and citizens much less positive, much less productive. It changes the way civilians see police officers because they're encountering somebody who feels like they're at risk, and so they behave that way. So that sort of picture that we have in our head of the police officer we want from the 50s, officer friendly, who's kind and courteous, in a nation with guns readily accessible to almost everybody who that officer interacts with, they just can't behave that way. They have to be defensive, and that sort of poisons the whole relationship.
Have there been any high-ranking members in the law enforcement community who are speaking up publicly and advocating for stricter gun laws?
There are a number of professional societies of chiefs of police, of big city police, of international police chiefs, of national policing groups that all say over and over again that the kinds of common sense restrictions on gun ownership and gun possession by people who have restraining orders, people who have been involuntarily detained, been committed for mental health problems, that those sort of common sense restrictions on gun access at those moments when people are particularly volatile are incredibly important to the safety of their officers.
Later on in this series, we're going to be talking about the ways that police officers in other countries like Scotland are able to do their jobs while unarmed. Would that ever be possible here in the U.S., given our civilian gun culture?
It's hard to imagine a scenario where that makes any sense at all. And it's not just, I think people hear that and they say, well, you know, that wouldn't work in the big cities, but that would work everywhere else. And the data suggests it wouldn't work anywhere. It wouldn't work out in rural areas or suburban areas because the rates of gun possession and carrying are actually higher there than they are in the inner cities. So there really isn't anywhere in America where an officer can do their job on a daily basis unarmed and feel like they're safe.
We're right now in a public health crisis. Has that added any more stress to this debate?
I think it's added a lot of information in important ways. So I'll give you an example. So we've all learned a lot about how public health officials, epidemiologists, trace a case of corona back to its source to understand how it spread, to contain that spread. And advocates, including law enforcement, have wanted to use those same principles to trace how a crime gun gets in the hands of a criminal and to trace it back to its source and to understand how that gun went from legally owned to becoming a crime gun so we can figure out how to stop that transmission, that transfer earlier in the process before anybody gets hurt by that gun.
John Roman, Senior Fellow at the Nonpartisan Research Organization, NORC, at the University of Chicago. Thank you so much, John.
Thank you for having me on.
And you can find all of our stories from these series at thetakeaway.org/guns.